You got the heart of a champion. Won't stop till the battle's won.
Amy Sandow is the Australian Open champion. She is the new world number one. And he enters the record books with a historic seventh Australian Open title.
Je veux cette image, c'est parti. Comment choisir 6-1, 6-3.
Ashley Barty.
Il remporte son 12e Roland Garros, Rafael Nadal.
Simona Halep is the Wimbledon champion. She has stunned the centre court, and they will be dancing in the streets of Bucharest.
Wimbledon number 5 for the Serbian superstar. What a treat this has been. The top seed triumphs and it can surprise no one. He's beaten Roger Federer today in the longest final in Wimbledon history.
You will never forget this fight. Rafael Nadal pushed to his limits. Digs as deep as you can.
It's an extraordinary debut. But can you believe it? Bianca Andreescu is a US Open champion.
You got the heart of a champion.
Welcome to the First Serve, your home of tennis from the land down under, with your host, Brett Phillips.
Very nice to be here. A Tuesday night special this week with thanks to Top Agents Real Estate. They're servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking for a top price with exceptional advice, if you're buying, leasing or selling, check out top-agents.com.au. Like their Facebook page or give them a call. The guys are in the office tomorrow morning, 9558-4599. Where to start tonight? Daniil Medvedev, Coco Gauff, or Chris O'Connell? This is the sport where there is opportunity. Whatever your age, whatever your ranking, whatever the path you have taken to get there. Many definitions of success, such a competitive sport to try and make your mark, but knowledge that the margins can be so small. It's about taking your opportunity. I'm going to start with Chris O'Connell tonight, 25-year-old New South Welshman. We spoke to him on the First Serve back on the 7th of August. In 2019, he has played an extraordinary 93 matches. He's won 71 of them, and on the weekend, in his 13th final of the season, won his fifth event, and second at challenger level this year. He's risen to a career-high 149. He rose to a career-high at the time of 220 about 3 years ago. Then he went into the wilderness, ranking had slipped considerably under the newly created ITF World Tennis Tour at the start of this year. He had no ATP ranking because he was outside the cutoff. He had an ITF ranking, which was created. He was winning and winning and winning, but the ranking was going nowhere under the new system. Common sense prevailed, and when it was changed back to the old ranking system back on the 5th of August, all his points actually counted for something. And have continued to count as he now eyes a spot inside the top 100. His level in Fairfield, California on the weekend was outstanding, especially to bring down the top seed, Steve Johnson. Single-handed backhand, great serve. I could go on and on. As I was wiping the sleep out of my eyes, getting up early, watching the stream, it was brilliant tennis. Maybe the best player the tennis world hasn't heard of. Now, I pinched that line. The commentator said that. I thought it was a beauty on Monday. Coco Gauff, a maiden title on the WTA Tour at just 15. One of the tennis stories of 2019. Outside the top 600 in January to 71 in the world, fourth round Wimbledon run with that disbelieving win over Venus, 24 years her senior, and in Linz, Austria over the weekend as a lucky loser, wins a title taking out the French Open champion of 3 years ago, Yelena Ostapenko, also the top seed, Kiki Bertens. She is the real deal. And Daniil Medvedev, a phenomenal season. In his ninth final of the year, wins his second Masters 1000 title of 2019. His fourth title overall, firmly entrenched in the top four of men's tennis. He's eyeing off the big three. Damn tough to play. Targeting the forehand of Sasha Zverev, drawing error. Love his serve volley. His backhand returns are sublime. What a season from the Russian, who's also got some amazing charisma. Great package. So three very good stories. Also on the weekend, Swede Rebecca Peterson won the WTA Tianjin Open, up to 44 in the world. Aussie Dane Kelly back-to-back on the Australian Pro Tour, winning Toowoomba. And Madison Inglis, who we spoke to a few weeks ago on the show, continuing her fine season, also winning in Toowoomba. 54 match wins for Maddie, climbing 200 spots in the rankings as she eyes the top 150. We're going to go and do this nice and early. Are we ready? Jed's my right-hand man, because we've got a little drum roll. We've got a little drum roll here. If we can just dig one up somewhere, because we are going to give away the first of our Prince racket giveaways. All thanks to Tennis Only, Australia's number one online tennis retailer. They're at tennisonly.com.au. They're shipping all over the country. They're in store in Melbourne, in Burwood Road, Hawthorne. And tomorrow, they're opening up at 9 Atlanta Drive in Tullamarine. Huge range, all the stock online at Tennis Only. Available at the new Tullamarine store and in Perth, in Melville, and also Nederland. So if you've been following us closely, sorry, Dash, I'm going to get there. You will see our Prince Racket giveaway competition on all our social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter and Insta. We're giving away one away each week for the next 4 weeks. The Prince Techstream to a 100p racket. Retails at $280. Nice prize. Our first winner. Hand me the envelope, please. It's like being at the Brownlow Medal. Our first winner is Jackson Badley from Sunbury. Jackson, if you're listening, now we're going to try and give you a call and try and get you on during the show over the next hour. But you entered and you win the first Prince racket. So everyone else that has entered so far, you will remain in the draw for the next 3 weeks. And just keep an eye on our social media tomorrow. We're going to give some further details of how you do enter. So well done to you, Jackson Badley. We're going to try and get hold of you in the next 45 minutes or so. Yarra Tennis Coaching, they are Melbourne's award-winning coaching program. They're at Eaglemont Tennis Club, beautiful place, just off the Eastern, 2002. 20 teams, junior and adult programs, private lessons. Discover more at yarratennis.com.au. Very valued partner of our show. And the head coach himself, Shane Scrutton, has wandered into the studio tonight. Good to see you, Shane. You're just fresh off the court.
Yeah, I am. Brett, thanks for inviting me in. Totally agree with what you said about Chris O'Connell. Saw a few highlights on YouTube, and Steve Johnson had no idea where his serve was going. And 4-4, but it was pretty comprehensive. And Steve Johnson's a tough player. He's he's given Federer a couple of tough matches. And that one-handed backhand, just an amazing all-court player. And I was really impressed.
We love a one-handed backhand. We can't get enough of a one-handed backhand. He's as good as I've seen.
Well, Steve Johnson would have been expecting to win that, bona fide top 100 player. And Chris O'Connell came out and don't think faced a break point and, a lot of aces. And he was just comprehensively outplayed, Steve Johnson. And, that's a really good lead in, for Chris for the Australian, for the Australian Open.
Absolutely. So 25 years of age, he's been on this journey. And when we spoke to him, Shane, about 7 or 8 weeks ago, he talked about cleaning boats. He talked about working at a department store to fund his travel. He's actually spends most of his year in Europe to save coming back and forth from Australia all the time. And he set up a base in Belgrade in Serbia. You wouldn't probably think many players would think they'd be setting up a place or a base in that part of the world. I think he's got a physio, a good friend there who helps him with, recovery and preparation. And he's a pretty cool cat. His demeanour's pretty good on court. But some of his play was as good as I've seen from a top 50 player, a top 20 player. So he's shot-making. So it just goes to show, gee, the margins are really small in this game.
Yeah, and it's probably just a bit of confidence. He's won, 73 matches this year?
71, yeah.
71, and he's, his ranking is up by 47, which out of all the top people in the 200 is by far the highest jump of anyone.
Yep.
In that top 200, you're usually going up by, 5 or 10 at the most. For him to jump 47... It's quite amazing.
Can I ask you, you have been in coaching for a long, long time. You've seen many come through Eaglemont. We had young Cooper White in here a couple of weeks ago who you've had a lot to do with in his infancy and recently representing Australia's Junior Davis Cup team. How do you define success in tennis? Because we often talk about, and I feel like a broken record, talking about not everyone being able to reach the absolute pinnacle, the top echelon, but you're your own entity travelling the world, trying to earn more money than you're spending and trying to win more matches than you lose and walk away with a respectable career, but not everyone can get to the absolute top. How do you sort of define that?
Well, it just goes to show someone like O'Connell, someone as talented a player as what he is, and yet he's just scraping through. And he's probably had times where he's thought about throwing the whole thing in. It's a good question. I did the college tennis circuit. A lot of Australians are over there now,
yep.
Doing college tennis. If you can walk away from a sport and say, well, I've got a degree out of it. I've travelled overseas. You certainly can't do that playing AFL. And you've been able to make a bit of money. That's success in my book. And it's just such a tough competitive sport. Australia's doing, I think 15 females in the top 250, yep. and are similar in the men's. Obviously, that doesn't equate to what we used to have back in the 60s and 70s.
Mm.
But tennis is an international sport. The depth is incredible. Although I had a look through the rankings down to 400-500.
Yep.
There's so many players from, Slovenia, Slovakia, Russia. It's such a worldwide sport that, yep. Comparatively compared to our population, Australia's actually doing extremely well.
No doubt about that. Actually, I just, before I get into some of the nitty gritty with you, I just want to, because I'll forget this, and I wrote this down today in bold. I want to give a special mention. We talk about the different paths that players take. He was one of our favourites when he burst onto the scene about 3 or 4 years ago in his 30s, right? So not many players are really starting their journey in their 30s, but we sort of grew to love him, and most of the tennis public do, from the Dominican Republic, Victor Estrella Burgos, right? So he bid farewell at his home Santo Domingo Open, which is the biggest ATP challenger. It's become the biggest in Latin America. 39 years of age, 5'7", from a very small island, doing it at an older age, as I said. He's taken some great scalps. He's overcome financial adversity. He's won ATP titles. If you go back and look at the highlights of how emotional he was and the crowd who gave him a standing ovation at home, and what he's taken out of the sport. This is a country that had no tennis players, no representation, and now he's that passionate about inspiring the next generation to try and follow in his footsteps. It's just a great story.
Yeah, I think he was the guy that lost to Nadal and he basically got a standing ovation after the first round match.
Everyone loves him.
And I think he started playing when he was in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show.
I just wanted to mention him because I thought I'd probably forget it. And he's one of our favourites and the tennis public absolutely love him. Shane, you've been in coaching, as I said, for a long time. What does it give you at that grassroots level when a young girl or guy comes down to Eaglemont, comes into Yarra Tennis Coaching, and all with different ambitions, and you're dealing with parents also and trying to sort of set a path for them, trying to, send them in the right direction? Take us inside that world a little bit.
Yeah, good question. Tennis is a lot different to what it was when I was growing up. You know, back then everyone played one or two sports. Now everyone's doing three or four playing musical instruments. There's a lot of choices to choose from. As a coach, and I've had teaching experience as well and, coached overseas, I think it's really important that, it's about fun and it's about improvement. I'll do a lot of kids 6 to 10 and, a lot of them think that tennis is probably harder than what it actually is. Mm. And I think it's really important to get that, that sort of that positive fun and really that growth mindset where kids are improving little by little. Because I know how tough it is. I know how tough it is to get, to the top level. And I've been lucky that I've dealt with, I've had to do with a lot of kids that have become really good players. It's a hard road. It's an individual sport. It's super competitive. It can be quite lonely. But I think as a coach, it's important to be, fun, and it's all about being positive.
Yeah.
And I remember the coach that I had was a guy who, his name was Leo Ware, who wasn't a really great tennis player, was just super positive. And he really inspired me to keep going and to play college tennis and to go into the, international circuit.
Mm.
And so I'd like to do the same thing. I'm still playing. Playing pretty competitively.
Yep.
My kids all play. It's a really good, I think it's a really good environment for them. And that's what I'm trying to make it at the club.
Well, we're going to talk about you because you're about to embark on you're basically the main man leading the team over to the US for the next few days.
Number two, but that's okay.
Oh no, it's all on your back, Shane. So we'll talk about that very shortly. Cooper White, he was in here a couple of weeks ago. Really, really impressive. I mean, pretty daunting for a young 16-year-old to walk into a radio studio and conduct an interview and you try and make him feel as relaxed as possible. He's come through Eaglemont. He's had a great relationship with Kooyong and the foundation there. And I watched a couple of his matches on the stream over in Florida. He's still got two more years of juniors. He's our number one 16-year-old. And there's no definitive answer right here as to what lies ahead. But, gee, it's promising.
Yeah, well, he actually towed me up in the club champs final this year, so I'm still a bit dirty about that. But as a 16-year-old, amazingly talented. He played at Egremont from, I think, 6 to 10, and then went on to bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. But has got the complete package. And really, like you said, he's playing against, you know, players that are 2 years older than him. And you look at him, he doesn't look 16. He's a really big athlete, and he's strong, and he hits the ball hard. And he's got a really good temperament. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and for him the potential is unlimited.
Yep. Just give me one or two. And the first time I met you, I came down and saw young Gemma
right,
Carbis,
yep.
Who's also had a bit to do with Koo Yong, and I was watching you hit with her, and we spoke to her, and she was only, what was she at the time, 14?
14, yep.
So, you know, pretty daunting when someone comes up wanting to conduct an interview with you, and I thought she handled herself really well. But have you got just a couple that come to mind of across your long journey of just a couple of really good stories that you might be able to share with us? You mightn't have seen it straight away, the potential, but then it just sort of unfolded, you know, on and off the court.
Yeah, sure. Tom Krzyzewski, who's now playing college tennis at UNLV, I think his parents said that when they first came to Egremont, he was about 4 and I was the only one that was going to take him because no one else was prepared to coach somebody that young. But he was super keen and started off in section 31, I think at the age of about 6 or 7. And I've had a lot to do with Tom, and then he started coaching for me as well.
Yep.
And I've just really been impressed by his path that he's got, and he's got overseas and he's getting an education. And he hit with Tommy Robredo last year, hit with Kokkinakis. So he's somebody who I feel like I've had a really, you know, long relationship with and try to be a really positive kind of role model for. And he's somebody that always, whenever he comes back to Australia, always comes and says hello. And
that's good.
And it's really, I guess, about building that club sort of relationship, and really trying to build up the club so that for kids who want to come and play tennis, to make it as positive and enjoyable as possible. I think that's ultimately what tennis should be about.
No doubt. I want to pick your brains a bit more on that after the break. We'll come back with more of Shane. We're here thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialist in landscape, sports, turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. You can discover more at glgcorp.com. Happy to take your calls too, 1300 736 736 or on the text 0433 98 11 16. The first serve, it's a Tuesday night special this week. You got the
heart of a champion. We're ready to go again. This is the first serve. Tennis from every angle, every week with Brett Phillips.
On a Tuesday night this week, due to the AFL trade week and the deadline tomorrow night, so it'll all be about the footy in our normal Wednesday night slot. But nice to slot into a Tuesday. So much to talk about. So many good stories going around. All thanks to Top Agents Real Estate. Give them a call tomorrow, 9558-4599. If you're looking to buy, lease or sell. If you're in Melbourne, if you're listening to us outside of Melbourne, you're going to come to this beautiful city. They'll give you some top advice with a very, very good price. Top-agents.com.au. In fact, the dual days are over for Naomi Osaka. The 21-year-old will officially relinquish American citizenship and represent Japan at next year's Tokyo Olympics. Japanese law requires Osaka to choose either Japanese or American citizenship by her 22nd birthday, which she will celebrate tomorrow. So that is what is ahead for Naomi Osaka. Okay, our Prince giveaway, Jackson Bedley. We've managed to track Jackson down. He's out in beautiful Sunbury in the north of Melbourne tonight. Jackson, congratulations.
Thanks, DP. Privilege.
That'll come in pretty handy, the nice Prince Techstream racket.
Absolutely. Actually, I'm just taken up tennis quite recently, so
really?
It'll be a fantastic addition.
So pretty fresh.
Really
to the
appreciate
go.
It.
Pretty fresh to the game.
Yeah. Played as a junior, uh-huh. And then just taken it back up after probably hanging the boots up with footy. Oh, so can't thank you enough.
You hooked up with a club anywhere?
Yeah, just the Sunbury Lawn Tennis Club. I'm not a member as yet. A friend's got me down, so yep. A few hits to date, and that'll be the next move, mate.
Okay, I've seen photos of the Sunbury Lawn Tennis Club. Nice little setup out there. So, mate, well done. Thank you very much for entering. You've got to be in it to win it, so you've done that, and we'll organise that Prince racket to get delivered to you, and keep listening to the show.
No worries, BP. Appreciate it, mate.
Good
Thanks,
stuff.
Guys.
Jackson Bedley, the winner of our Prince racket tonight. Shane Scrutton, yarratennis.com.au. So many great programs you're running, Shane, for kids, for adults. Just take us a little bit inside Yarra Tennis and just a little bit about the philosophy and the work that you're doing. You've got a beautiful setup just off the Eastern Freeway there, different style courts, got the lights going, nice clubhouse, good feel.
Yeah, we're very lucky. 10 courts, and we're getting a new clubhouse next year, which is very exciting. And I guess my role, I've been the club coach since 2002. Did some teaching before that, and you know, a lot of playing as well. And coaching program for all ages, all standards, and a lot of kids, sort of 6 to 10, involved in a lot of schools. Involved in 3 or 4 schools in the local area at the grassroots level. And I'm still playing, and we're still playing. We had a really successful pennant season. We had a couple of pennant teams make the finals. We had a grade one team as well. And just trying to build up the club. The club's got a pretty good membership, 400 to 500 members.
Nice.
And courts are in great condition. Got the new LED lights as well.
Beautiful.
Did a bit of fundraising through the council as well. And really trying to make the club, I guess, in the area, a real hub. A real hub of not just tennis, but also sort of social and for the community as well.
Yeah, so just on that, Ruth Holloway, who's the new chief executive at Tennis Victoria, she's been in the role for a few months, MBE we should add as well, which she's going back to London to receive later in the year. She'll be our special guest on the show next week. I know she's busy visiting metropolitan clubs, doing a big trip around country Victoria as well. And I know there's a new initiative which is about to be announced in the next sort of little period about these open court sessions, trying to attract that age gap, what about 25 to 45 roughly, back to playing tennis again. I mean, take us through your thoughts just on the club scene in Victoria generally and how you see it, having been at the coalface of it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I think, look, you know, tennis, when you look at it, it's about $170 a year to become a member. Yep. And somewhere like it at your local club, that's for the whole year. So in a lot of ways, tennis is actually an incredibly cheap sport. And I just don't think people probably realise that enough. You join your member, you pay your membership, you can go down, you can use the course anytime you want. But I suppose people are also looking for something that's organised. Mm. And I suppose this is where Tennis Victoria is looking at, so, okay, what program can we do that'll get that age group, 25 to 45, actually playing regularly and hopefully becoming, club members. The demographics are changing, sports changing, people don't have as much time, they've got, a lot of things going on. So they're really trying to work out, well, what kind of product can we get and can we the clubs deliver that'll get tennis back to the forefront in such a competitive sporting environment.
That's right. There's so much choice, isn't it? Now you talk about people being time poor and maybe not necessarily wanting to be a full-on member of a club, but being able to, it's a bit like, people who listen to us live, some can't on a weeknight at 8 o'clock, who can listen when they want to a podcast of our show, and people have been able to maybe open up a court when it suits them during the week without having to be a fully-fledged member.
Well, there's becoming that battle between user pays and actual membership, and that's something that clubs are dealing with and working out, what can we offer? What programs can we offer that are really good value for money? And it is a competitive environment. I suppose something like this is something that, you come down, you pay your money, you play tennis,
yep.
And that's it. But at the same time, I think that, club memberships are fantastic value for money. You can go and, for $170 a year, go and play tennis anytime you want.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think that we, when you look at it that way, tennis has got a lot of advantages over a lot of other sports.
Yep, no doubt. Now, before I let you go, I've heard you're in pretty good form, and you are off to a big tournament. Tell us about your trip to Miami, which is coming up.
Yes, I just snuck into the 45s, Brett, so I don't want to give too much away there. But myself and two other Victorians, Jared and Richard, we're making up the men's 45 Australian team, which is playing next week in Miami.
Yep.
Luckily, off to Miami for a week, and we'll be representing the Australian team. And there's the 35s, 40s, and 45s all playing in Miami. And it's effectively a Davis Cup for the vets.
Okay.
So there's 28 different countries. We're seeded sixth. Wow. So we're in with a decent chance, and as Jared, the captain, said, it's got to make sure we don't get injured.
Right. Are you feeling good? Are you feeling physically good? We know that Miami, that can be pretty impressive, that the humidity in Miami.
Yes. I think this time of year it's probably not as bad as, June, July, but I have been practicing with a couple of tracksuits on, so we'll see how we go. But as long as we get over the jet lag and we play a match each day, so next time I speak to you, hopefully got some good news.
The Americans, having done a bit of travel this year, and they hear the Aussie accents, they love to engage in a chat. Where are you from? Melbourne. Oh, Melbourne. Okay, how far is that? Oh, it's about 20 hours in a plane, 21 hours. Nothing. It's easy. You just watch a couple of movies. You have something to eat. You go to sleep. Don't watch the flight tracker. Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting our descent, but they cannot get their head around travelling that far. They really want to come to the Australian Open, but they just cannot fathom sitting in a plane for 21 hours.
No, and look, you know,
if
you're an Australian tennis player, 21 hours is pretty short.
Exactly
so,
right.
So, you know,
exactly right.
So you just got to go the jet lag, but yeah, we'll see.
Great to have you in. YarraTennis.com.au, great partner of ours here on the First Serve. If you want to get in touch with Shane and his team, private lessons, you can come from the northeast, you can come from outside the northeast. I ran a footy club once where players live nowhere near the postcode of the football club. If they love a place, they'll stick. You can have a chat to one of the best coaches in the business. We'll follow up Miami in a couple of weeks' time, Shane.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me on, Brett.
Good to have you in. Shane Scrutton, Yarra Tennis. Of course, the First Serve tonight. All thanks to Green Life Group. Build, maintain and sustain. They are your open space specialists, landscape, sports turf and property maintenance. Discover more at glg.com. Bridget McGuire, women's tennis. That is going beautifully in this country, led by Ash Barty in her amazing year. Bridget will join me next here on the First Serve. You
got the heart of a champion. We're ready to go again. This is the First Serve. Tennis from every angle, every week with Brett Phillips.
Lovely to be here. We cannot get enough of the great sport of tennis. We're doing it all year round, almost 52 weeks of the year. We take a week off here or there, but we're here tonight thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking for a top price with top advice, if you're buying, leasing or selling, check them out. Their website is top-agents.com.au. Like them on Facebook or give them a call, 9558 4599. I do note that Novak Djokovic says it's time the game's governing bodies considered combining the Davis Cup and the new ATP Cup into one mega event or run the risk of one event's extinction. It's going to be a fascinating little period. We're intrigued to see what happens in Madrid at the end of the year and then 6 weeks later the new ATP Cup and how that looks. So I think after those two have been run, we can probably dissect that a little easier, but the players, interestingly though, who are always talking about scheduling and maybe reducing the season, and also so many of them playing sort of exhibitions late in the year, so they've got an appetite for tennis and they don't really want to have much of an off-season. Less than a month before Australia goes into battle against France in Perth, we cannot wait to try and become Fed Cup champions for the first time in 45 years. Ash Barty, the world number one, the recipient of the Don Award just last Thursday. She's leading the charge of our female contingent who are rising behind her. The Women's Tennis Foundation has been long established, is passionate about supporting women to make the sport of tennis accessible for all Australians to enjoy. Their president is Bridget McGuire. Over 25 years, she's worked in sport and recreation, including, of course, the USTA, a stint at Tennis Australia, Golf Australia, the Australian Sports Commission, and the Nine TV network, to name a few. I can't fit all the resume in tonight. We're going to run out of time. Bridget, welcome to you. Good to see you.
Thank you very much, Brett. It's fantastic to be here. Thank you for having me.
What a build-up. We cannot wait. What an end to a great year for Australia to make a Fed Cup final, but to be on Australian shores.
Oh, it's just tremendous. What a great time to become president of the Women's Tennis Foundation with, you know, Ash having, you know, leading Australian tennis. It's just amazing. So, and to top that off, by winning the Don Award, named after Sir Donald Bradman. And really that award is about what sporting performance, what sports person has inspired the nation. So that's Ash, you know, winning that award and really leading Australian sports. So it's just tremendous.
What I loved about last week, she plays in the final in Beijing. She gets back to Australia quickly, ducks up to Cairns, surprises about 25 to 30 young Indigenous kids who got the shock of their life when the world number one walked in. 24 hours later, she's looking glamorous.
Absolutely. She can do anything.
Around in Melbourne, here she is winning the Don Award. So she's covered some ground. But Bridget, how have you viewed her? I've been lucky enough to spend a lot of time with her on the road this year and had amazing access to her and just watched her development in the pressure cooker of being an elite tennis player. And as you're rising, more eyes, more people are wanting a piece of you, and how her and her team handle all that. And I've got to say, she has done it beautifully.
Oh, her composure as a 23-year-old is really phenomenal. And you can see that brands, from a sports marketing perspective, really want to get on board. And I know she's and her management are very choosy about which brands she aligns herself with, because she really wants to have that authentic relationship. But her performance in the media, has been tremendous, and she is really setting the standard. And I'm absolutely inspired by her. And then promoting women's tennis, and I take a leaf out of her book for really not entering into conversations that are going to distract her. She has a great team around her, and she's really focusing on being the best person and being the best tennis player she can be, which is wonderful.
No doubt. I should give a little plug. Daisy Pearce had a great chat with her show here on SEN. It was over two parts in her home there in Ipswich. You can go back and listen to that on the SEN website, sen.com.au. It goes over 2 weeks, and Ash just really relaxed. You've got the dogs barking in the background. Mm. She loves getting home to her dogs. Some take them on the road. Ash likes to leave hers at home. She says there's enough in the locker room with, you know, Venus, who sneaks her little one in when she probably shouldn't. But the contingent coming in behind Ash, this is where...
It's really exciting, Brett.
What we need to talk about, because so many are rising. And we saw the Australian male pack going back 12 months, 2 years ago, all start to rise as well. And the women have followed suit, and there are a lot of good stories there.
Absolutely. We have incredible depth. I was talking to Nicole Pratt recently, head of women's tennis, and her and Alicia are just doing such wonderful work. They're so committed to all of our athletes. And, you know, she was saying that over at the US Open in qualies that other nations were coming up to her and saying, what's going on, you know, in Australia, you know, as we mentioned earlier on, we have 25 players in the top 250, and we believe that all of those players are capable of being in the top 100. You know, one of our scholarship players, Zoe Hives, who I spoke with today, you know, she's got wins over Andreescu, our US Open champion, and the latest sensation, Coco Gauff. So we know that our players are incredibly talented, and we're doing our best at the foundation to give them that support. You know, that's a little bit of financial assistance, but also, you know, how else can we help them? So we're looking to really support those girls to maximise their potential.
So take us inside the foundation a bit more, and the work. There's a board, and obviously you're
all voluntary. We do it for the love of the game.
Absolutely, as we do. And we want to support those who have got great ambition, but just take us inside the foundation. It's obviously got a lot of history that goes way back to the 70s.
Way back to the start of the Battle of the Sexes time. Started as the Australian Women's Tennis Association, then became the Fed Cup Foundation. We had the Davis Cup Foundation on the men's side, of course. And then recently, it was interesting, Brett, as the organisation, I suppose, became a little bit more professional. You know, it had amateur, you know, representatives. Yep. We put in place an administrator. And, you know, when we're going out to market beyond our tennis family, there was very little recognition of what the Fed Cup was. So that was the feedback. And you almost had to say, well, have you heard of the Davis Cup? Yes, well, we're the Fed Cup, and we did not, you know, we want to be, you know, the Women's Tennis Foundation and really be proud of that. So we went through a lot of analysis and research, and it came back that, you know, our feedback was that, you know, say who you are and what you do. So we put that to our membership, and that was overwhelmingly endorsed that, you know, we changed the name in the middle of the year to the Women's Tennis Foundation.
So how do you then go about identifying who you support?
So we have three key programs. So we'll go to our scholarship fund to begin with, our scholarship program. We open that to everyone. So anyone can apply. So nominations will be called for next month, so the start of November. And we're happy to hear from anyone. Our criteria is very simple. So based on your technical, tactical, psychological and physical attributes, do you have the dedication? Do you have the potential to one day represent Australia in Fed Cup competition? That's what we're looking for. So we're happy to take applications from athletes from all over Australia. You may be in national programs, in state programs, or you may be having your own program with your individual coach. Very happy to hear from, you know, as many players as we can. In an ideal world, Brett, we would have, you know, a big budget to draw on. I'd love to support every player. You know, we're looking at, you know, and fundraising. We have various events and so forth, and anyone can become a member of the Women's Tennis Foundation. So, you know, we're trying to create a positive community so that we can support those young women. So in the last 3 years, we've supported 13 athletes. It started with one athlete, Olivia Gadecki, national champion, wonderful player. The next year, we included some other players, Hannah Sonten, who represented us in Longines and has, you know, been on international tours. you know, Zoe Hives and Gabriela da Silva Fick, yep. You know, national champions as well. This year, we increased that to a further 7 players. So, you know, it's fantastic, some of those names. Zoe, who's, you know, had tremendous last few years, up to 140 in the world. Madison yep. Inglis, who won Toowoomba. Mm. Ellen Perez, who I met with today, who's 59 in the world in doubles. Fantastic player. Belinda Woolcock, Isabel Wallace, Gabriela da Silva Fick, and Amber Marshall, who's doing her VCE in South Australia. So, you know, it's a great coverage of girls from female players from all over Australia.
Huge to have that support, isn't it? I mean, we document, for those who are, you know, casual tennis observers who listen to our show, stumble across our show, and we try and take people into the journey that you go on, and Shane sort of touched on it. It's a tough sport to make.
It's a tough sport.
The perks are massive if you can reach a certain level.
For the select few.
Yeah, it's really, really tough, and different measurements of success. But just to be able to get on your way at least. I mean, there's so much on, you know, parents who
absolutely.
We've heard many stories across the journey who sacrifice a lot for their kids to have a crack at being a professional tennis player. So foundations like yours are just so important to help that cause.
That's it. And you talked about what's the measurement of success. You know, for us, it's that these athletes are maximising their potential on the court. As we know, I'd love to, you know, Shane, you're very impressive being in the over 45s. You know, you can't do that forever being a professional tennis player. So we really want these young players to maximise that potential on court, so that we're doing that through our scholarship program. We're also in partnership with Tennis Australia. We sent, over the last 2 years, 7 young women in the 15 and under age group to the US for a month to give them exposure to ITF tournaments over there.
Yep.
The US has great depth.
Mm.
But also to give them an experience of US college, and we see that as such a, you know, a viable pathway now for our young athletes to come through the juniors, and then spend some time in the US to learn about themselves, to grow yep. up a little bit, to get all of that match play, and you know, perhaps get a degree as well. So, you know, there's a couple of different programs that we've strategically looked at, and that one in particular, that's around the age group where you see a lot of girls dropping out yeah. of not only tennis but in sport altogether.
Mm.
So if we can inspire them at that age and really see a clear pathway for them, then we can hold them in the game for longer and hopefully then get them through to the professional ranks.
Absolutely. Stick with me. We're going to slip in a break and we'll come back. Still a few things I want to touch on with Bridget, and we'll get to Duncan on the text as well, because we're going to look ahead to the Fed Cup, because this Australian team to be selected around Ash Barty is really fascinating. There's some tough decisions for Alicia Molik to make, and the news on Ola Tomjanovic, which certainly throws an interesting selection mix there into what is going to be an amazing tie against the French. We're here thanks to Green Life Group, of course, glgcorp.com. Build, maintain and sustain. You can discover more at glgcorp.com. Specialists in landscape, sports, turf and property maintenance. More of Bridget McGuire coming up next here on The First Serve. You got the
heart of a champion. We're ready to go again. This is The First Serve. Tennis from every angle, every week with Brett Phillips.
Oh, we're flying. Tuesday night special here on The First Serve. All thanks to Top Agents Real Estate. top-agents.com.au if you're buying, leasing or selling. And Green Life Group, your open space specialist, glgcorp.com. Build, maintain and sustain. You can discover more if you log on to the website. Bridget McGuire is with me in the studio, president of the Women's Tennis Foundation. Before we talk about the Fed Cup, if you do want to become a member or a donor or even look at corporate sponsorship, we need to steer, Bridget, people to the right place.
Absolutely. If you want to be a donor, you can make a tax-deductible donation to our fund directly to these fantastic athletes. Please go to www.womenstennisfoundation.com.au. Do yourself a favour, Brett, and we also have an October membership promotion. So if you renew your membership this month, there's a prize in the offering. Or if you become a new member tonight, Shane, you've got to sign up. Brett, I'll have you signed up before I leave the studio.
We're there.
There's also a prize in the offering too. So join our community. So the more that we raise, the more that we can give directly to our athletes.
And I imagine a big contingent heading to the Fed Cup.
Absolutely. So we can't wait to get over there and support our Aussies. It's going to be history in the making, 45 years since we did it last time,
yep.
and it's going to be very special.
So Duncan off the text, BP Fed Cup just a few weeks away. Who do you think will be in the Aussie team versus France? Well, Ash Barty picks herself at the top. There's
I
no
think she might get a run.
Doubt what about do that.
Fair chance.
She'll sneak in to the selection mix. The news on Isla Tomjanovic is interesting. Now, I've watched a lot of Isla on the road this year, and she's sort of in the 40s trying to get out. She is, to me, when I look at her level, at least a top 30 player. Where she'd fall
impressive.
In that mix, it's tough. We know that the competition is enormous, but really solid off the ground. You know, can beat very, very good players. Loses, if she loses, she loses by very small margins. But now that she becomes eligible to maybe represent Australia for the first time, just considering what's happened with Daria Gavrilova this year,
yes.
Sam Stose is certainly going to be important.
Absolutely.
From a singles and certainly a doubles perspective, if we get down to the fifth rubber, it's on a knife edge in Perth. But the news on Isla's just thrown a little nice little one into the selection mix.
Well, it gives Alicia Molik options, doesn't it? You know, so that's fantastic to be in that position. I think we go in as favourites, the Aussies, obviously led with Ash, and she's been tremendous all year in our Fed Cup. Sam was sensational in Brisbane, you know, went down in her singles, but gee, she was competitive in those matches, and she was the player of the match in the doubles. So, so you know, you're really with Ash, with Isla there in the mix, Sam Stosur, Priscilla Hahn, you know, Astra Sharma, who's also, you know, those young women are having great years as well and coming through. You know, Astra in the final of the mixed doubles at the Aussie Open. Wow. You know, really, really great to see that depth that's there to support Ash, who's obviously number one in the world.
Can I just say, Astra Sharma, one of the best girls I've dealt with this year. You can't believe her age at times. I feel like I'm talking to Astra and I'm talking to someone probably 20 years older. And she's been in the college path, and she speaks so eloquently. You know, her game, just to have that exposure at Grand Slam level this year will do her the world of good to be just part of the majors and playing good players.
They're all very accomplished young women, Brett. You know, they're travelling around the world sometimes on their own, or, you know, with another player or with their coach at times, but they're very accomplished and, you know, they're very impressive young women, and that's why we're, you know, very excited to help them as much as we can.
And we should mention too, Bridget, the great Judy Dalton is a big part of
Absolutely.
Your setup, and she's a delight, Judy. I remember being at Wimbledon 3 years ago, and, I mean, she calls it as she sees it. You can have a great, robust discussion along all things tennis with Judy, but, I mean, she was one of the pioneers.
Absolutely.
When we talk about Battle of the Sexes back in the 70s when the whole game changed to become really professional, and she's still playing a big part.
Oh, she's fantastic. So, yeah, big shoes for me to feel like I never filled those shoes of the great legend Judy Dalton. But Judy is still very much part of our foundation. She's our patron. Now Judy will be there in Perth, as will all the players who have been invited to the Fed Cup final there, who have played Fed Cup for Australia. So it's going to be a wonderful celebration of tennis, and you know, we'll be very proud of our players. Whatever the result will be, that will take care of itself, but we certainly know one thing is that our team will be playing for each other, and you know, that's when you get the best results.
What are your thoughts on the Fed Cup and what happens after? Obviously, there's been a lot of, you know, controversy around the Davis Cup, and
yes.
we'll get to see the new format in November, and the Fed Cup have made that decision to go to a week in Budapest
yes.
in April next year. What's your own
yeah.
take on it?
Well, I always go to the athletes. I'm certainly not one to pretend that I would have an expert opinion on this, so it's all about what's the best experience from an athlete's perspective. And I've actually discussed this with Judy. I said, Judy, tell me, you know, you played in this format when it, and the last time we yeah. actually won it 45 years ago, it was in that format.
Yep.
And Judy said she really enjoyed it. She thought it was a fantastic experience. So you know, that's from her perspective. She thought it was a great experience. You know, I hope that lots of Aussies will get over to Budapest next year and support our girls there as well. But we are very fortunate to have the final home and away, in the home and away format
tickets
to have
selling
it here,
like hotcakes, I've been told.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To have it here in Perth. So
well,
that's,
we've seen the Hopman
fantastic.
Cup there when it moved from Birdswood to you know, the heart of Perth, right in the CBD there. I mean, this is an event where there's no rankings points, the Hopman Cup, but they've turned that into an unbelievable event, and the atmosphere, you could feel that coming through the television. So
absolutely electric.
With, 14,000 barracking for Australia. Just trying to make a lot of noise.
A lot of noise against, and the French will be tough, you know, with Caroline Garcia, Ljubljanovic, who's number one in the world in doubles, and, you know, Elise Cornet as well. So, you know, it will be big, you know, big time competition. There's a French wine and food festival happening in Perth, so there will be some French support over there at the time. But, you know, let's bring the Aussies home.
Absolutely. As we wrap up, if you... Question without notice. I love throwing these ones in.
What's this one?
If you've got a little one that's sort of just a little good little story just emerging, maybe, you know, we've talked about the established players, Zoe and Madison Inglis and all those ones that are following Ash Barty and trying to rise up to her level, but the ranks going down, who you're looking to get behind, is there just a one or two little gems that we might just keep an eye out in the future?
We look at everyone. Brett, you know, we talk to coaches all the time. I'm a tennis parent as well, so, you know, I see it from, you know, firsthand. So we, you know, we're talking to lots of people in the community. We want as many girls playing tennis as possible. We are under enormous competition and threat from sports like footy, cricket, which now are laying claim to, you know, women's leagues, and good on them for doing that. But I certainly believe that tennis is the best sport in the world. For both boys and girls, and you know, we're looking at anyone and everyone. But I look forward to seeing who applies for our scholarship next month, Brett, and you know, look forward to supporting those athletes to be the best tennis players they can be.
The sport for life. You can start at 4, play like Shane at 45. If you're standing horizontal and you can put one foot in front of the other, you can be past it, but still pick up a racket and have a hit.
You can play with Judy at 81, every Tuesday. This is what it's about, and have fun with your mates.
Great stuff. Brett, my daughter is a dedicated 17-year-old to her studies and her tennis. She is 1 point away from a WTA ranking. There you go. This is a bit of a mystery. I don't know who that is.
Best of luck.
If you want to send us another text and maybe fill in a little gap, I'd love to know and follow it with much interest. Thank you for coming in, Bridget. Just
My pleasure, the
website again, just for people to log on, have a look.
It's an easy one to remember, www.womenstennisfoundation.com.au.
All right. You can be a donor, a member, look at corporate sponsorship as well. So check it out, and we hope Australia can get up in the Fed Cup. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks very much, Brett.
Bridget McGuire. Thank you to Shane Scrutton as well for coming in tonight. We're going to do it all again back in our normal Wednesday night slot next week. All thanks to Green Life Group, your open space specialist in landscape, sports, turf and property maintenance. Build, maintain and sustain. Discover more at glgcorp.com. This has been The First Serve. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night.